you know, your gift will make a way for you.
Amen.
Not your education, which is good. We're not saying anything against that. There's just gifts in people that, you know, you just can't go to school for. You know, I mean, there's people just have a gift in our life to be able to do things, right? So anyway, I just wanted the kids here just brag about them tonight and how just how proud we are of all of them. And just they're really genuinely seeking God. And that's good because, you know, like I said, everything out there is, just, oh, this next generation, everything's awful, everything's terrible. We got kids in here that are proving that wrong.
That's right.
Amen? And just because the world is, you know, they're all this propaganda and garbage is coming at kids, it doesn't mean that they have to accept it.
Right. That's right.
So, amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we are continuing talking about do not give up. We're going a little different direction tonight. But as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, and there's some reasons why sometimes when we're walking in faith, sometimes we can get discouraged. And I just want to dive into this tonight where Scripture, and we'll talk more about things, but it says, when the Apostle Paul is sitting here telling those at Corinth, he says, when I first came to you, this is the New Living Translation, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that, now I want to stop here for a moment. In the world system, I thought it was really interesting because the Apostle Paul was highly educated, right? He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He says, you know, I was, you know, I'm the guy that knew all the little dot and tittles in the, you know, in Moses' writings and the prophets and everything else too. But interesting, he says, you know, I didn't use all these lofty words and impressive wisdom. And you ever notice lately, the big thing is, if you don't have education and you're not this big brain, then we're not going to listen to you on the news and everything. You know, it's like, well, you know, these people are, you know, these people over here are uneducated. They don't have this, so we're going to discount them. Excuse me, there's massive wisdom here. And it says, I didn't use lofty words of impressive wisdom to tell you. Apostle Paul didn't try to go off on some educated thing here. He's like, you know what? There's just truths here that doesn't matter what level you're on, it is going to impact your life. And don't let anybody ever tell you, however much or however little, but these are universal truths. It doesn't matter what you have in front of or behind your name. Brother Hagin always called PhDs as pothole diggers. So, you know, I don't think it's education or anything like that, but it was sometimes it's like you just lose reality, right? And Paul, the Apostle Paul is sitting there saying, I'm dealing with these people that they're just no rational. I mean, they lost their minds. I'm coming to you without all that fluff, with all of that pomp and circumstance, and I'm dealing with the truth, for I've decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. Now, some people, or we're going to dig more into this, but some people are going to rely on their wisdom or their natural knowledge. And the Apostle Paul, as he's going through these writings here, and I don't have anything against education, definitely don't, but we can't rely on it, can we? And if we're going to be spiritual, that can't be what we're solely hanging on to. And it says, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. How much human wisdom have we, people are trying to, you know, trying to always persuade us all the time, right? Like, you know, well, we've got fact checkers, you know, excuse me, fact checkers. So you were lying before, but now you've got fact checkers to persuade everybody that what you're telling us is the truth, right? Fact checkers, right? So you're lying before you got the fact checkers. So we're using all these sly little languages and all of these things to try to convince you that what they're saying is the truth, right? And so the Apostle Paul's like, I'm not using any of that junk. He says, yet, verse 6, yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak the words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. The Apostle Paul is sitting here and he's delineating the two things. He's saying the wisdom of the world and the wisdom that belongs to this world or the rulers. He says, I'm not speaking of that. I'm not speaking of that. Here we go. Who are soon forgotten. Interesting. I was laughing last night. I was sitting there. You know, sometimes I'll put my phone in, I'll listen to my headphones, and I'll listen to different things. And these people were talking. It was a podcast. And the podcast was about 3 or 4 years ago. And these guys were, you know, yakking back and forth. And they were, it was like kind of towards the beginning of COVID. So it's kind of interesting to listen to this because you're sitting there going, this perspective. But I thought it was very fascinating because we're listening to a perspective of people in a specific time period. And I thought, and as I listened to it, it made me really think about things because they were talking about, oh, you know, in a few months, we'll be through this COVID thing. It'll be all over. And then they were talking about the toilet paper thing. You know, remember that? You know, somehow toilet paper was up there with gold, I guess. I don't know what the deal was. Yeah. But, you know, and they were talking about this. And I thought, these people are talking about something in a time period that I can now sit back and have greater revelation on something than they do at that time. Because of, again, perspective. I have a different perspective than what they do on this recording, right? And it was fascinating because I thought, you know, and you know how like sometimes you'll listen to a song or you'll hear somebody say something and it takes you back to a time period, right? Like I'll listen to, you know, an old song I used to listen to in high school or something, and all of a sudden I remember being at a high school dance, or you know, it like takes you somewhere. And when they were talking, it took me back to COVID time, and I thought, and Adrian and I were talking about this today. She's like, I remember getting out there and just, you know, it was almost like a battleground, you know, just to get toilet paper and all kinds of other stuff, just for what you need. And people were just so on edge. And you look at that in that time period, and what was the world's wisdom? Lack. Right? And now, by the way, we ran out of toilet paper today, Adrian. I just let you know that. I filled up all the bathrooms and toilet paper today. I'm the toilet paper guy in our house, okay? I'm sharing you things you don't care to know about, all right? So just want to let you know that. But that's, anyway, because nobody else will do it. So I'm the guy that does it. So I'm like cleaning up after the dogs in the backyard. That's my job. So anyway, dads, we get all the good jobs, don't we?
Yes.
But anyway, so it took me back to this time period, and it was, but at that time period, it was limited wisdom, wasn't it? And so the Apostle Paul is talking about, he's sitting there saying, you know, the world's wisdom, it's not the wisdom that we're going to go after. And so when I was listening to that conversation, it took me back to that time period, and I thought, oh, if I could have told myself what was going to happen then. Now, how many people were in fear during that time? Right? And I mean, you know, you listen to that, it was like the whole world was going to end and everybody was going to, I mean, when some people got, and of course we did lose people. I had some friends of mine and people that we know that I lost for COVID. But at that time period, you know, some people got COVID and it was like on the news, they thought it was a death sentence, you know, like it was just over. But what was that? That was the wisdom of the world at that time. Was it true? No, it wasn't true. And guess what? People were flipping out. There were people who got COVID that thought that that was the end. Like it was just this, you know, they had just days to live. Now, again, without getting all on the other side, of course, there were things that they did to people that purposely hurt people. But what I am saying is this, that when we look at this, that was the wisdom of the world. And we can look back now, 2020, and say, okay, not the year 2020, but you know, like 2020 vision. We sit back and say, okay, it was so wrong, but on the inside, we knew that God was still on the throne at that time, right? And we can look back now and you know, like it's one of those things where we can kind of look back. It wasn't laughable, and it's still not laughable, but we can look back and go, it was kind of overblown, right? Yeah. To an extent. So, you know, that's where we're talking about the wisdom of the world. You know, the wisdom of the world, we don't go by. And so, one of the reasons people get discouraged is because, here we go, they rely or listen to human or natural wisdom. Doesn't mean you're not a believer, but what it means is when the report comes down to it, who are you going to believe? And that's what the Apostle Paul said. He goes, you know, I don't have to go on all these flowery, educated, you know, big fancy words and everything. I'm going to lay it on the line, the truth. And the news is completely void of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It is strictly natural. I mean, there is nothing, all the news does is just reports, right? Now, let me just laugh. And I don't understand. I mean, some people probably watch the news. I don't know. I mean, it's not a big deal. If you want to watch the news, whatever. But I'm just like, after this last election and all these clowns and all their predictions and everything were completely wrong, again, with the election thing, you're thinking, there were all these predictions. And then at the end of the night, like some of those clips, the anchors are crying. I'm like, if I messed up that bad in front of millions of people, I would quit tonight, right? And you still got a job. That's what cracks me up. I'm thinking, if I look that stupid on TV, I would quit. It just my mind boggles me. But the point is, they're bad at predicting anything. They can't predict anything. The only thing, they're just regurgitating what happened, and they can't even get that right. And that's the devil. He can't even get that right. So, verse 7, no, the wisdom we speak is what? The mystery of God. It is not the world system, is it? And then he goes on, he says, his plan that was previously hidden, this is where we want to get to tonight. Even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began, but the rulers of this world have not understood it. Do you understand? The rulers of this world, not the news hasn't understood it, right? They don't know it. The rulers of this world don't know it. The news doesn't know it. The politicians who are not born again to believers, they don't know it either. Did you hear me? They don't know it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scripture means by when it says, here we go, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared, here we go, for those who love him. How many love him tonight? I do. Amen. So if you love God tonight, there are things that he has prepared for you that are good that you're not going to get by watching the news. You're not going to get it by listening to whoever. It's just not going to happen. And again, the world can only comprehend natural things. God has hidden those things for whom he loves. The Lord may ask or lead us down a path that doesn't make sense, right? Think about, I mean, just look at these things. Like, for example, we see Joseph. Joseph's life was just chaotic, right? In the natural, it's an absolute hot mess, right? I mean, he gets, you know, thrown in a pit, and then here he's got this, you know, I think kind of Joseph didn't help his cause by, you know, going, hey guys, I had a dream last night, you're my brothers, and you all bow down to me. It's just, it doesn't help your cause. You ever those people that do things and you're like, okay, Barney Fife, we'd be doing that there, you know what I'm saying? He had those moments, you're looking, you're like, that's probably not a good thing to say. That's probably not a good thing, right? But it was all part of God's plan, right? So the natural looks like it's just a disaster. I've had that in my life before. I won't afraid to say that. Just sometimes you're looking and you're thinking, oh God, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what the plan is, but just it looks like we're going sideways here, Lord. I'm just, can you help me? Now, it doesn't mean that everything bad happens. God's like, oh, yeah, let's, like he's getting his kicks in heaven trying to, you know, put stuff on us. But what it does mean is, eye has not seen, ear nor heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that what God is for those whom he loves. So we can get discouraged and look at the situation, right? People can allow themselves to get discouraged when they base everything on the natural, right? Everything on the natural. I mean, whether you've been awake or not, the last 4 or 5 years, God has been doing things behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. It looks like a hot mess, right? But you know what? Sometimes we got to go through a hot mess for us to wake up. Verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit, excuse me, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. What's this that God wants to show us things? He wants to reveal some things to us. Verse 11, no one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. There's awesome things ahead. Amen. If we're trying to get answers from God out here, we're going to be frustrated, right? Well, God, help me here, help me here, help me here. And we're trying to find it out in the world and people and everything else, right? I've had bosses before. We've been around those people before sometimes. I've had bosses before where, you know, they're doing things and they're like, hey, I want to mentor you and everything. And it's like, hey, I didn't ask for a mentor. Right? It's like, I had this boss one time and they were talking, this person was telling me about, you know, mentorship and everything. I'm like, I don't want to be like you. I don't want to do what you're doing. Right? It's like, you can't get along with anybody. Nobody likes you. So probably not a good person to follow, right? Like, I'm sitting there going, everybody complains about you. Probably not a good thing. And I always find out this too. Most of the time, if people don't ask you to be mentored, they probably don't want you to mentor them. What's that mean? It means that what you've got, I don't want. But what I do want, I'm going to pursue Him. But sometimes we're pursuing things that we'd have no business pursuing. And people, again, we're just, because we're looking at the natural things. Many times I mean, it was crazy. I was, and a lot of these people that in my past, they were, you know, they meant well. You know, people mean well. They're not trying to get you off track or anything, but they see a side of you. I remember in college, you know, one of my professors is like, you know, you should go to graduate school for being a conductor, you know, conducting orchestras. And I'm like, yeah. I may enjoy conducting, but I'm not going to be go get my graduate degree for conducting. Now, if you've got your graduate degree in conducting, well, then praise God, good for you. But I was like, the ship has sailed. But anyway, I thought, I don't think so, right? And people along the way have said, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. The plan is not out here, right? And sometimes we can get natural things, and there's something, we can get natural wisdom from people, right? I mean, it's kind of good to be able to balance checkbook. And, you know, I mean, there's natural things we need to do, and God doesn't, you know, we don't have to go around being led by the, you know, trying to be led by the Spirit, all glossy-eyed and bumping into walls and stuff. And I'm just going to be led by the Spirit, you know. I'm going to be led by the Spirit how to put clothes on today. And I'm going to close my eyes and be led by the Spirit and walk across the street. Well, you're going to get hit. I'm just telling you right now, you know, you're going to be Frogger out there. And now, some people probably don't know what Frogger is, do you? No. All the younger people are like, huh? It's a video game. Plays a little Frogger guy, and then he get run over by a car, and he goes splat. So, but the point is, you know, natural things. We're not saying natural things are bad. And obviously, we need food. We need, you know, we need finances to pay our bills. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what we're saying is, when we're basing our life or our existence just on natural things and the way the wind blows, and because the news changes all the time. Like I was mentioning earlier, you know, that clip that I was listening to about three and a half years ago, you know, we're not there anymore. I mean, that's past, right? And I mean, we do feel probably some impacts of some of those things, but the point is, it's like, you know, what was news last year is nothing now. Nobody's talking about it. And we are just so, you know, I mean, if you were selling Cabbage Patch Kids in 1984, probably not going to sell too many this year, right? No. Because that ship sailed. I mean, Cabbage Patch was a big... Okay, I'm using bad examples here, right? People are just like... Cabbage Patches were like a doll, you know? And a little doll about this big, and they were the biggest craze, you know? And they were just crazy. And it was, you know... It was like Elmo's back in the day, you know? it was the tickle me Elmo thing. You know, I was like, hey, everybody had to. So, you know, what's here today is gone tomorrow. All right, I'll shut up. We'll move on here. Frogger and Cabbage Patches. This guy's ancient. how old is this guy? But I just, you know, and again, I'm not out the same people like, you know, how many years ago when I was playing in bars and doing things, I'm not going to consult them, right? And even at the time, I wasn't going to consult them about spiritual things because all they were focused on, and I just say this, the more you focus on the natural and fulfilling your own needs, the more dangerous you get.
Yeah.
So, you know, the level of carnality that you get into, the more self-destructive you become. And that's what part of the, one of my favorite theologians and scholars is Dr. William Barclay. He's a really good scholar, but he goes through very in-depth on, you know, Roman culture and right around the time Nero, which he's the one that, you know, set Rome on fire and blamed it on the Christians, and that's really what kicked off a lot of the Christian persecution at that time. But shortly after him, a couple of the emperors and some of those that came in, it was so bad that the emperors came in and pleaded with the people to have, you know, monogamous relationships and you know, to be married and to keep families and to keep the family structure together because it was falling apart. It was becoming so destructive, and they saw that their society was in such bad shape that it was destroying everything. What was it? Because, and you know, you got to realize at that time, Rome at some point where you've got more holidays than you have work days, and it's just, you know, that's during the time period of the gladiators and some of these things that went on, and it was just, what was it? It's just they were feeding their flesh, and they were destroying themselves in the process. And a lot of the countries we see over throughout history, they're not because of a foreign invader came in, is they destroyed themselves from the inside out. And, you know, we see that. And that's where we need to pray for the United States, because, you know, we're not being destroyed by an external enemy, we're destroying ourselves because we're turning away from God. But what does that say in the Bible, Jeremiah? If my people will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will what? Come and heal their land. All of Jude, the whole book of Jude is nothing but, oh, Israel falling into sin, and then they get taken over by the enemies for 60 years, and this and that, and there's this whole chapter, it's just back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And that's what happened with the, when the Israelites went into exile into Babylon, because they got their eyes off of God and they became so fleshly and they began to get into natural things and they destroyed themselves in the process. So you can see over and over and over again when these things, when every nation, they turn away from God, it's just a matter of time before they get away from godly principles, that they destroy themselves from the inside out. Verse 13. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive the truths from God's Spirit. When we're focused on the natural and we're listening to only natural people, they do not have the capacity to give you godly counsel. It just does not exist, right? For example, if God's, you know, stirring on you to give something to the piper, and then you go talk to somebody else and they say, well, you could use that money for something else, right? Or, you know, sow into the church or give tithes or, you know, give somebody in need, right? Your natural mind, your those people around you. We had a lady one time that was out of business and everything, we were doing things, and she's like, well, you know, you guys could just stop giving to the church and you could do this. I'm like, no. Years ago, I'm like, no. You're thinking naturally speaking, right? And again, I have nothing against budgeting and things like that, but it's just the fact that if you're looking for things, if you're only focus on natural. That's why we got to be led by the Spirit. So again, people, it all sounds foolish to them, but they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. For those who are spiritual can equate all things, but they themselves cannot evaluate others. Here we go. Verse 16, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? Well, we understand these things, for we have what? The mind of Christ. Just think about it right now. Everything God does is completely different than natural. Often. You look at the Bible. I mean, the Israelites get up to the Red Sea. It doesn't make any sense, does it? Everything looks doomed. Everything's over. Joseph in prison. Oh, we're done. I mean, people just don't normally get out of prison back then. You know, they didn't have like weight rooms and, you know, cable TV back in, you know, those prisons with air conditioning and, you know, free education and stuff, right? No. It was like, you're just lucky you get something to eat. And you're probably not going to get out. And there's no appeal court. And there's none of this and none of that. It's just whatever the king feels like today. Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus beheld them and said, with men, this is impossible. But what? But with God, all things are possible. When we're looking at the natural all the time, we're limiting ourselves. And we're limiting what God can do. But we're looking to him, everything's possible. Mark 9:23 says, and Jesus said unto him, if you can't believe, all things are possible. What? To him that believes. I want to skip down to Mark 16:20. So we can kind of, and it says, when the Lord Jesus, this is New Living Translation. I want to read the King James too, because both of these translations are very good. You know, obviously this is part of our motto too, Mark 16, but verse 20 is very good. The New Living Translation says it interesting, and then the King James says it, and both of them together, when you read them back to back, it brings out some really interesting kind of perspectives. Is when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord, here we go, worked through them. And then the New Living Translation says, work through them, confirming what they said by miraculous signs. In the King James says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them. So one says through them, another one says with them. What's that mean? It doesn't matter, because it just means God's with them, and he's there making things happen as we're putting left foot in front of the right foot. Confirming the word with what? Signs following. Amen. Now, I just say this. If we take Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, and Mark chapter 9, verse 23, and with Mark 16, 20, and look at some other scriptures together, it doesn't mean necessarily in just healing people and seeing supernatural things, but it can also mean the things that God's called you to do. Or the things that God has given you a vision for, right? Because we need, you know, and years ago, and I remember just being in church as a kid, it was like, of course, we celebrate, you know, Piper and all the kids, and it was like we were all excited about, you know, this one's going to missions, this one's going as a pastor, and we need those people, we need more. You know what I'm excited about too is you doing what you're anointed to do and being a Christian there. Yes. Right? I mean, if you're an anointed electrician, do that. I mean, it's crazy because I got more people born again. I mean, I would do things like, because to me, now I'm a little different situation right now. because I'm not, you know, I don't have the capacity. That'll change soon. But I remember just assembling machines or machining parts or whatever I was doing. People, I got born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember having guitar students, and it was like half of them went to my church after they were my students. Because the thing I was anointed to do opened things up, right? Because our mission field is not just, you know, we need more missions people. We need these things. We need pastors. We need teachers. We need these people. But guess what? When you're anointed to just do what you're called to do, and you're flowing in these things, things are going to happen for you, right? You're going to have favor. People are going to, I mean, I've said this before, but one of my guitar students was, he had a lot of marriage problems, a lot of personal problems. He had a couple of boys. He's having problems with boys, his boys there, his teenage sons. And just all these things are happening in his life. And I started giving him guitar lessons, and he was extremely just foul mouth and everything. And but you know what? By the time Adrian and I went to Bible college and I left, he got born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then he took over playing for me, guitar at the church, and so on and so forth. And then he eventually got married again, and he's like was an associate pastor in Texas somewhere at a church. And all I was doing was just, you know, doing my giftings, right? There was no, you know, lofty teaching, like Paul says. There was no fancy words involved. It was just, hey. And it's because I chose to flow in the Holy Ghost and reveal some things, right? At the end, I closed the business down. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. And it was like, yeah, you're going to do that. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore, Lord. Yeah, you're going to do that, right? And see, that's where the things of God are not the natural things. Like, I wanted to do these other things, but he said, nah, I want you to do this because I got a purpose. I need things done. And again, that's where the Holy Spirit will lead us to do things, and it doesn't make sense sometimes, right? Because I thought, I don't want to do this anymore, right? These little kids would come in, you know, and Philip. Remember Philip, Adrian? Yeah, little guy was Philip, right? I liked Philip. And his, it was his, was his, what was his, what was his sister's name? Amelia or something like that. Anyway, Philip would come in like, dear Jesus, please deliver me. I don't want to give lessons anymore. And Philip would come in. And I'm like, I had these students. And I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, please. They're giving me money, but I don't want to do this anymore. But there's a purpose in it, right? And we get so prideful in what we're doing. Daniel, I want to read Daniel here before we close. This is powerful. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 1. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. I want to talk about things sometimes God is doing behind the scenes, right? This is a very powerful scripture of things that God is doing behind the scenes. You know, this week, Adrian and I were, I was, you know, on Facebooks and everything, and I'm really getting into, you know, my friends on Facebook. I like wishing them a happy birthday. So every morning I'm like, oh, I got to get everybody a happy birthday out, you know? So I'm a nerd now. I'm a big nerd. So anyway, but I came across this friend of mine that I used to work with, and she and I worked together, and I discovered she passed away, right? And I had shared some things. Just, we had kind of talked a little about the Lord, but I was just, you know, and then we were at one company, and then we went to another one. She was young. She was 40, died 40 last year. And, but I just, because she's kind of rough, you know, those people, you know, you're around him for like 2 minutes. You're like, whoa, we're not on the same page here, right? You know, and this is several years ago that we worked together. And but just my heart just kind of dropped. I'm like, Lord. And I just was like, Lord, I hope that she, you know, just came to you. And all of a sudden the Lord said, you know, I'm doing things behind the scenes you don't even know about. Just Peter and I were talking about. And I thought that was very powerful because, like, my grandmother, very hard person. Adrian had the pleasure of meeting her before she passed away. And she's a very hard person, right? And, yeah. And, but she was hilarious, though. I will say that. She's pretty funny, but she's pretty, no. But, Anyway, yeah, she liked to drink and So anyway, but I remember on her deathbed, I called in California and said, "Hey, and this is just something that I've had some family members that have passed and just and other people that you know I didn't quite get there in time or something happened." But I remember delivering the talking to her about the Lord, and she rejected that time, and I was just really bothered by it. You know, you get those times in your life where you're like, oh boy, you know, she's just really hard-hearted. But again, she passed away about 2 or 3 months later. So there's time for it to kind of stew, you know, and to kind of meditate on. And, you know, when your life is at the end there, your perspective changes pretty quick. I've been around people on their deathbed and, you know, they're pretty scared and they're looking for things. I've never met an atheist on their deathbed. I've talked to plenty out there, but I've never been in a hospital room where somebody's dying and they're taking their last breath and they're an atheist. They just don't. I've never met anybody. Now, I've even met people where they're hard and they reject it, and then they're on their deathbed and they're open. Oh, they're open. So when I was listening to that, I thought, and I was just meditating on this gal that I had worked with, and just really like, Lord, because those things really bother me. You know, when I hear somebody died, even in Hollywood or somebody, you're thinking, they didn't live a godly life or what have you, then I always think, where are they at? And it really bothers me. But anyway, but the thing the Lord spoke to me on, and we're going to get into the scripture here, even though it doesn't say this here, it gives us food for thought, is this. We'll start with Daniel chapter 1, and we'll read through this, and then I'll finish that thought. It says, in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belshazzar, because you remember they had Hebrew names, and they also had Babylonian names, right? The same with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were not their only names. Daniel did not have, that was not his only name, it was Belshazzar. So when you're reading these things, especially in the first chapter of Daniel, you're going to see their Hebrew names, and you're also going to see their Babylonian names that were given to them later when they were in captivity. But it goes on, okay. But it says, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned certain events certain to happen in the future, times of war, and great hardship. In verse 2, when this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. All that time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. On April 23rd, as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold wrapped around his waist. His body looked like precious gem, and his face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches, and his arms and feet shone like polished brass or bronze, and his voice roared like the vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing. And they were absolutely and suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me. Stop there. My strength left me. So there is biblical about falling out in the spirit, right? We also see it in Moses' day. We see it all throughout the Old Testament. We see it in this is a thing. Oh, those people are just faking. Nope. And then and I felt very weak. Verse 9, then I heard the man speak, and when I had heard his sound of his voice, I fainted, lay there with my face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees, and the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. I love that, because this is obviously from God, right? And then he says, so listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up. I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, here we go. Now, this is very important, the rest of this chapter. Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been what? Heard in heaven. I have come to answer your prayer, but for 21 days the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Now I want to stop here for a moment. There are things in Ephesians, we read earlier, Ephesians, and it talks about principalities and powers and rulers and darkness and high places. The enemy, Satan, puts spirits in key positions over leaders. So when he talks about the prince of Persia, he's talking about a spirit behind the leader, right? So that the devil's going to focus on the people with the most power. That's why we need to pray for it. That's why Paul told Timothy to pray for those in authority to lead quiet and peaceable lives so that what? We come to the knowledge of God. First Timothy. So it's very important that we pray for people because there's spirits, the demonic realm, because guess what? Those who are leadership, if the enemy can influence them, they'll impact more people. Okay, so we'll move on here. Then he says, verse 13, then Michael, I'm sorry, for the first 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, the Michael archangel helped him. Verse 14, now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. I want to stop there for a moment, and then he goes on, but the point I'm saying is this. Daniel began to pray 24 days beforehand, right? Or 21 days before that, and then later it was 24 days by the time the angel came. And he said, I was dispersed the first time you prayed. So during 21 days, you know, Daniel sees nothing going on. There's nothing happening. But things are happening behind the scene. I believe we've seen that for the last number of years. There's things going on behind the scenes. Why? Because that's why we pray, everybody, is because we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but when we pray, it says right here that he heard them. Now, I am not saying, but I am more righteous, and you and I are more righteous than Daniel because we are born again. Daniel did not have that same experience, the born again experience that we do. Because now we can go directly to the throne room of God. We now have the blood covenant of Jesus. We now speak with the authority of Christ when we go into our prayer room, because into our prayer time with God, when we pray, we are using the name of Jesus, and that is equivalent to Jesus himself saying, hey, Father, I want you to do this. Because there's covenant. Right? It's covenant. It's kind of like, you know, Adrian and I have a joint checking account. So she can go to the bank anytime and speak on my behalf, and I can speak on her behalf, right? So it doesn't matter which one is there. We both have to have the same authority, right? Now, whether I make the money and put it in there or whatever, it doesn't really matter, because the bank just sees it as, oh, well, you're on the account. And guess what? God's sitting here is going, oh, you're on the account. You have access to this thing because of Jesus. And it is true when he looks over and the Romans says that we are now joint heirs with Christ. What's that mean? Everything Jesus got, it belongs to us, right? And it's the great exchange. So we call the great exchange. What it means is our sin, our shame, God takes that, forgets it, destroys it, but we get all the benefits from him. And so as we're looking at this scripture, it's easy to get discouraged and to feel like nothing's happening. I'm sure Daniel felt really discouraged. Very discouraged. Well, he just popped out of a lion's den before that, right? I mean, he's kind of seen a couple of cool things, right? I mean, you know, you're talking about God delivers him and Darius comes out, oh, Daniel, please, over here, God delivered you. Oh, yeah, I'm here petting kitties, right? He's petting Tigger down there and having a good time, right? And there's angels there. So God supernaturally did things for him. And he's supernaturally doing things for him now. And guess what? It doesn't matter what things look like. We've got to have faith in God that He is doing things behind the scenes. I'm convinced that God is doing way more things behind the scenes when we pray. We're doing things than we give Him credit for. Because again, what are we doing? We're in the natural. All we see is this, right? We don't see anything else. And Daniel's focused. He's continuing to pray, but he said, that first day that you prayed, I heard you. Michael joined in. We fought. I got away. I'm giving you this message. I'm telling you, giving you this revelation that you need, what's going to happen. But it's that first day. All these things are happening behind the scenes. That's why I believe in prayer. I really do. I believe in prayer. I've seen prayer happen, and sometimes I can't see things with my natural realm, but guess what? It's not me doing anything, but I have more faith in God's ability to do things than my ability to make God do things. Because if we think the reason why we're going to prayer is to manipulate God to do something for us, then we miss the point. He wants to do things for us. He wants to. What did you say? I love this part. Even the Old Testament, it says, I love that. It says, what did he say? Verse 10:11. Daniel, you are very precious to God. You ever notice how every time Jesus, like after he died, rose from the dead, and he came back and he's with the disciples, what did he say? Peace. Chill out, guys. He's trying to put people to peace. There's always something good that every time Jesus shows up on the scene, there's always something good he's delivering to people, right? In the book of Revelation, the seven churches, right? What's he saying? I love you. You're precious to me. But you kind of disappoint me. Kind of not real happy with the way things are going around here. But you always know it's God because it's always love. There's always this concern, always giving you direction, always giving you things to give you hope. May correct you on some things, but he's going to give you a way out. He's going to give you something that, oh, I love you, you're missing this in the mark. Here's some things to change, but you know what? You can change things because I'm going to help you. The devil is just, you are a low down dirty dog and there's no hope for you. That's when you know it's the devil. I believe that we can see some things coming not only soon, but I think in your life, in our lives, we don't need to be just completely hung up on the natural. I stopped listening. I don't watch the news at all, mainstream news or anything else, because first of all, I mean, I believe the word, and I don't have. I mean, not to say that we can't have things that are going on, but I always think, okay, is it really happening that way? When I hear the news, I'm thinking, okay, is that happening? But is that the way it's really happening? I don't know. But I just go down on the inside, right? Because the Holy Spirit's going to lead us and guide us in all truths, and He's the one. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Truth is not just a concept, but it's a person. John 1:1. Let's turn there real quick and we'll close. And I was teasing the kids earlier. They changed the clock back an hour. But I shouldn't have told them that because I wish I just would have left it an hour. We'll be ready for spring. John chapter 1, and it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and it dwelt among us. The Word is not, truth is just not a concept, it's a person. The Word is not just this book that we always think of. The Word is a person. Why? Because everything that comes out of Jesus is this. This is just a portion of Him. This derived from Him. He is the Word. You know, we always say, well, we're Word of Faith. Yeah, we're Jesus of faith. Really? The Word. The Word is a person. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit asunder, right? That Word is going to divide your soul and your spirit, and it's going to reveal you, and it's also going to reveal the Holy Spirit. When you read the Word, you can say, oh, that's God. You can say, oh, that's me. It's my flesh. And the cool thing is the sword, the Word will go in, and you know, we always think a sword is going destructive things, but it can also do surgery. It can cut things out we don't need, right? Remove things we don't need. Pretty supernatural. I think we begin to think of things not just maybe what we're what we've been religiously brainwashed with or taught. It's looking at the Word from a new perspective, because this is all, I mean, this whole Bible, it starts with man falling and it ends up with God redeeming us back to, you know, with Him, to live with Him forever. And this Bible talks, it just focuses around, obviously, the Trinity, but it focuses around the Father, and it focuses the person who's going to redeem us out of Genesis 3:15, which is Jesus. And we see Jesus from cover to cover, because He's the Word. Everything. That's why the world attacks Jesus so much, and there's such a hatred for Jesus. Oh, they love all the other gods and all this other stuff, and that's cool, and that's interesting, and that's interesting. But they attack anything that's anointing in Jesus, because there's life there. There's freedom in that. Father, we just thank You so much tonight, Lord, that these people are set free. But Lord, I thank You that we are not going to focus on the natural things, but God, tonight, You are doing things. Holy Spirit, behind the scenes, my prayer tonight is every person here, Lord, that You are revealing things to them that they need. Father, I thank You that prayers are going to be answered. God, we speak breakthroughs tonight in the name of Jesus. I speak breakthroughs in finances in the name of Jesus. I speak breakthroughs in job promotions and businesses in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord God, that You're working behind the scenes, Father. I thank You for relationship breakthroughs, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank You. I thank You, for, Lord, that You're breaking through in people's families, that their family members are getting saved. They're getting born again. There's breakthrough on every scene. And God, we just pray tonight that You're working behind the scenes, Lord Jesus, we don't even know about. But God, we thank You that You're working on our behalf tonight in the name of Jesus. We declare that we have breakthroughs and we have victories that are now becoming manifest in the name of Jesus tonight. In the name of Jesus, we declare breakthrough for our nation tonight. In the name of Jesus, we commission angels there in the New Testament. It says that You send forth, that we pray for ministering spirits or go forth for the heirs of salvation, Lord, tonight. We just declare, Lord, tonight, the people in this church that are here tonight and those people who are not able to be here tonight, God, we speak that there are breakthroughs on every level, Lord God, that You are giving them favor, that You're there, Lord Jesus, for help. In a ever time of trouble, Lord God, that You're bringing deliverance and help to every person in this church and their family members, Lord Jesus, tonight. We thank You in the name of Jesus. God, I just thank You there is hope tonight in everyone here as well. Lord God, that there is peace and there's joy, and we come against any demonic spirit of depression and oppression and hopelessness is broken off of people tonight. And it is a matter of it's been the past, but Lord, tonight it is broken in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how many years, Lord, we come before You. We don't know how many years it's been like this. It's broken in the name of Jesus because of the power of God tonight. We thank You that You're doing things in people's lives, Lord God, and there's hope, Lord God, and there's breakthrough, and there's vision, and there's direction, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, everybody, have a great Thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.